He's the doctor who always is in the office, always making house calls.
My name is Sarah. I'm calling from Portland, Oregon. My favorite Dr. Seuss book is Oh, the Places You'll Go. I love reading it to my boys, ages 6 and 10, because it reminds us that life has ups and downs, fun and adventure, and lonely lost times. However, those peaks and valleys are essential for finding out who you are. We always have a short conversation after reading it about what in their life lately has been fun and what may have been challenging.
That's great, Sarah. Donna writes us on Facebook, one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. Love it. Shows how great we are at being different, but all together in the world. My gang at home in the Hockenberry house loves The Lorax. And now there's a new Dr. Seuss book coming out, found in the Good Doctor's papers. This story gives us some insight into Theodore Geisel, his real name, into his creative process. The title of this book says it all, though. What pet should I get?
I've been asked many times, what was his favorite? First of all, he liked each and he was like a father. He liked all his children. He loved every single thing. Horton, the little Lorax, I can't think of anything that he didn't love.
Oh, it just gives me goosebumps. That's Dr. Seuss's widow, Audrey Geisel, speaking some years ago. But not all the lovely ideas did get published, as the sheer size of the Seuss archives suggests. But What Pet Should I Get has that Seuss rhyme and simplicity of a classic. Seuss almost to the point that you can't believe it hasn't already been published. What pet should I get? Oh, sure, I must have read that. I loved it as a kid, right? But it was actually found in the writer's papers 2 years ago, more than 20 years after his death. Will this be some revisionist Seuss akin to the disappointing revelations about Atticus Finch, a racist in Harper Lee's Go Set a Watchman? For instance, Dr. Seuss's What Pet Should I Put in the Clothes Dryer? Not likely. Kathy Goldsmith is Vice President and Associate Publishing Director at Random House and Dr. Seuss's former art director. How Dr. Seuss got his ideas is one of those gifts and mysteries we can't ever solve. But Kathy, tell us something about how those ideas were sorted. When did Dr. Seuss know when to pursue one idea over another?
Well, I can't really answer that for you because he often had more than one idea that he was working on at a time. And we generally didn't see ideas until he was pretty sure he had finished working on them.
So he was always bringing you gold.
Well, I wouldn't want to say always, but yes, when he brought us something, it was gold.
Wow. What do you think of this particular book? What pet shall we get?
I'm thrilled about this book because it gives us an eye back into the time when he was at his most creative. Mm-hmm. It's the late 50s. I think it actually dates to 1959, if I had to guess. I think it comes right before one of the titles you just mentioned, One Fish, Two Fish. That was a time when Ted was publishing two books a year for a number of years on end and putting other things aside and moving on. So I think it comes from quite a fertile time in his writing career.
And of course, like Dr. Seuss, you know, it's not what pet will we get or what pet do I want? It's what pet should I get? And it's just sort of this idea that every child is different, has a different set of values, and that the choice of a pet is going to tell you something about yourself. That was his sort of genius. Does the book deliver on that?
I think it does, because like so many of the other Dr. Seuss books, while we're nominally talking about choosing a pet, we're really talking about making choices, which is something that all of us, children and adults, do all throughout our lives. Sometimes it's easier than others, but we do have to make choices.
We don't want to be a spoiler here, but are these pets like dogs and cats, or are they imaginary animals like, you know, wiggle giraffe worm things? You know,
well, in this book, we actually have some of each, but it is more rooted in the real-life animals mm-hmm. than it is in the imaginary animals.
A long book? Is this a toss-off? Is this something that maybe hints that he didn't want it published?
I think it's not actually a long book. It's one of his shorter books. But I think if you think about its relationship to One Fish, Two Fish is very instructive here. I think that Ted moved directly from writing this book, inspired One Fish, Two Fish. There's a portion of this book that does deal with imaginary pets, and I think that part of the story took Ted's imagination, and he spun off almost instantly into One Fish, Two Fish, which just became a much bigger, longer project than this one was. And so I think he just took his attention away from this one.
Well, that's interesting because you're suggesting that he was toying with this idea of pet relationships. Mm-hmm. And then he said, we can make this a much bigger relationship. And really, his whole oeuvre goes in this direction of kids having relationships with all kinds of fantastic animals.
Yes, exactly.
Wow. So this might be a turning point, a real pivot, this whole idea.
I think so. So, yeah.
So will this be for little kids or maybe later readers? What do you think?
Oh, I think it's for little kids. We generally say 4 and up at Random House, but I think you could read it to a younger child. You could read it to an older child.
How, I guess, special was it to work with him? There's really no one else.
Well, clearly not.
Yeah.
It continues to be the high point of my career. And mostly because he was such a mentor and such a teacher to me. I learned most of what I know about children's picture books from him. Mm-hmm. Also what I know about color and about pacing for a book.
And who in publishing gets an entire life career with the one person who is so deeply connected to readers around the world?
Not very many people, I'm sure.
Well, you're lucky. You think there'll be another one?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, Kathy Goldsmith, keep looking.
I will. We certainly will.
Vice President and Associate Publishing Director at Random House and Dr. Seuss's former art director. You can see images and original markups from What Pet Should I Get? Just visit thetakeaway.org. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Do you have a favorite Seuss book? On Facebook, John writes, Horton Hears a Who because it taught me to be outraged by social injustice. I'm dismayed, of course, that when the mediocre movie version came out, the Right to Life movement co-opted its message. Well, you'll get over that, John. Andrew writes, one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish reminds me of my grandparents who had this book from when my mom was a girl. I've always loved reading it. How every page you turn, you see a new little world. Join the conversation. Tell us about the worlds you've experienced through Dr. Seuss. Visit us on Facebook.com/TheTakeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.